What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome into Vern's post-game show.
Went to his left, picks it up, spins, jumps, throws to first. In time, he got him. Wow.
Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
Now, well, how great was that, Kansas City? Listen, I shouldn't have to wait long. There's plenty to discuss after this 8-0 shutout of the Detroit Tigers. Royals take the opener in Detroit. They get to 500 for the season on the road. And now with a record of 17-10, my friends, this is the best start we've seen in this city since that magical summer of 2015. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. Let's talk about it. 913-586-7610. Whatever it is that had you hesitant in the first week, the second week, the third week of the Major League Baseball season. I'm curious, how many boxes do you still have that are yet to be checked? Now, this isn't some sort of a proclamation that they're here for good and we're going to see this team compete for a postseason spot deep into September. Now, the pitching and the defense and the team speed continues. That's exactly what's going to happen. But as far as your report card, what you need to see from your boys in blue in the month of April, what is left? 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. For as much fun as that 7-run ninth inning was, you know what this game was about. The same thing that these first 27 games have been about. Pitching, defense, and team speed. The pitching and defense stealing the show today as they combine to pitch the fourth shutout of the season. 27 games into the season, 4 shutouts, second most in Major League Baseball. This game centers around Seth Lugo, who StatCast says threw 8 different pitches. Now, he threw 103 total pitches, his season high. 8 different offerings to that Detroit 9 that they put forth today. Consistently a big zone today with C.B. Bucknor. But the Royals offensively were the first to adjust to that big zone. And Seth Lugo was the one that exploited that big zone the best, as he matches a career high with 9 strikeouts. He certainly continues to benefit from one of the game's best defenses, as Adam Frazier makes the best catch I've seen from a Royal in a very, very, very long time. I hate to mention the name Alex Gordon, but I don't believe there's been a better catch. Well, okay, what Kyle Isbell did yesterday. See, that's the problem. Poor Kyle Isbell. He makes the best catch we've seen in years yesterday, and it's forgotten about like that. Certainly won't be forgotten about by Seth Lugo, but an amazing catch from Adam Frazier in the third inning as the Royals are hanging on, holding on to a 1-run lead. Yeah, a 1-0 game until we get to the ninth inning, and that's when the doors are blown off by the Royals offense and the Tigers bullpen. Royals put 7 on the board and make this one a laugher. Hey, what do you guys think of this comparison? Seth Lugo, to me, at the age of 34, he reminds me of a Jeremy Guthrie type if Jeremy Guthrie was a reliever. Right. He's Jeremy Guthrie with a fresh arm. Now, Seth Lugo, it sounds as if, a cagey vet at the age of 34, and he is. But he doesn't have the mileage on that right arm that a Jeremy Guthrie did at 34. But the way that Guthrie could adapt, depending on how his stuff felt that day, what they were swinging at, what the umpire was giving him. You never know what you're going to get from Seth Lugo. It was a joy to watch him today. John Schreiber continues to put up zeros. Schreiber has put up a 0 in 13 of his 14 appearances this year. You remember what the Royals gave up to acquire John Schreiber? It's a 23-year-old who's given up 8 runs in 7 innings down in A-ball. Schreiber's allowed 13 base runners total in 14 games. Wow. 8-0, the Royals win. That's now 4 straight victories, their second 4-game winning streak in April. Team only had 3 all of last year. Let's talk about it, Kansas City. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. We're going to start off in Warrensburg. Brad, you're hitting leadoff. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say great show. Enjoy listening to you. And, you know, Royals are winning a bunch of these close games, and they're, I just feel like they're going to build confidence. And if they can hang around with the pitching staff they have, they're going to be a tough outcome later in the season. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Yeah, for so long I've focused my attention on this rotation, and deservedly so. It's been a fantastic run from this starting pitching staff. They've given the team a chance to win 26 of the first 27 games. They've been remarkable. But now we can pan out a little bit more and look at this Royals pitching staff as a whole. Right now, Royals pitchers, not just starters, throw the bullpen in there, and yes, throw Will Smith in there as well. The Royals pitching staff as a whole has an ERA of 2.88. That's the second best mark in all of Major League Baseball. Now, the defense did make its first error in nearly 2 weeks as Michael Garcia with an errant throw in the eighth inning, but no one's going to remember that because of the defensive gem put forth in the third inning by Adam Frazier. Thanks for the phone call, Brad. Let's go to Aaron in Shawnee. Aaron, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Thanks for having me on. I think the only thing I'd be concerned about with this team right now, I mean, the run differential is amazing. The bullpen is incredible. Starting pitching is nails. It's just like, you know, we saw Alec Marsh go to the 15-day IL. Mm-hmm. What happens if Lugo or Watcher go down next? You know, who's going to step up and replace them? So it's just a depth thing for me. But that's all I have to say. I'll hang up and listen.
And that's a concern in 29 other cities. Well, I don't think they care about baseball right now on the south side of Chicago or in Oakland. So, you know, in 28 other cities, because the north side of Chicago still cares. You're certainly concerned. And as I've often made the analogy to that 2016 team, that team should have made the postseason, but they were ravaged by injuries. They had a stable of starters, a quality bullpen. They had speed. They had the same weapons that I talk so glowingly about that this team has. The pitching, the defense, and the team speed. They had that in 2016. They were just hurt by Kane and Davis and Moose and Gordo, all of them ultimately going down for an elongated period of time. We'll see. Monday, coming up on Monday, game one of his 3-game set in Toronto. We'll see who Matt Quatrero goes to fill the spot of Alec Marsh. Likely 2, maybe 3 starts for a Jonathan Bolin, a Daniel Lynch. To me, it's between those two. I guess you could throw Zach Davies in the mix as well. No, that it's a fair concern, but that concern never subsides. Even if you run away with the division, you're still worried about injuries in game 161 and game 162 because of the way that could affect you in the postseason. Of course, you're always going to be worried about injuries. But disregard that, outside of the always, you know, that injury cloud that hangs over every team and every sport, outside of that, to me, that's the only thing that can truly injure your great defense and your elite team speed and your outstanding pitching staff. So long as those facets stay healthy, there's no reason why this team shouldn't be competing into the summer and ultimately into the fall. Thanks for the phone call. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. The last time a Royals team got off to a better start than this, 21 years ago, 2003, a summer that I think everyone holds fondly. 913-586-7610. My game notes following this shutout victory are presented by our friends at Jay's South Lanteau. Be in the know when called Jay's South Lanteau. Quick timeout. We'll get right back to your thoughts after this.
You're listening to Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Vern's Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
It's a fly ball cracked high in the air to right field. Frazier going back at the track. He leaps at the wall and makes the catch. What a play by Frazier, and right then throws to first base, and they double off Baez late getting back. How about that for a double play?
How about that for a moment for Sean Mernon on the call, last heard here on 610 Sports Radio. Adam Frazier robs Parker Meadows of what would have been a two-run home run and would have put Detroit in head. Who knows how this game turns out if Frazier doesn't make that play and then double Baez off of first base. It's a 1-0 Royals game at that point, a 1-0 Royals lead. It would have been 2-1 Detroit at the end of the third. Who knows how this game turns out? The way it did turn out is the Royals turned it into a laugher with 7 runs in the 9th inning, and they walk away with a Game 1 win in the Motor City, 8-0, the final score. That catch from Adam Frazier getting some love on social media from Patrick Mahomes. Royals came into today second in baseball with 17 defensive runs saved. That's at least up to 19, second only to the defending World Series champion, Texas Rangers. All right, Royals win 8-0. They're 17-10 on the season. They have the fourth best record in the American League and the second best run differential in all of Major League Baseball. Let's head up to St. Joe and talk with Mike. You're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
So far, great start to the season. My concern, I think, is the lineup. Do we have enough offense? What is Melendez? Is what's he going to end up with for the season? And Isbell playing a great center field, but what kind of bat is he going to provide over the season? I think if they get down towards the end of the season and they have a shot at the postseason, I think they're going to have to bring in another bat. Just my opinion there. All is not there. Thank you.
Yeah, and it's a fair point. You may turn out to be correct. My thought remains the same. If this pitching staff remains one of the five best, if the defense remains one of the five best, and if the team speed has you one of the five best in baseball, the offense is going to be just fine. You can go back and look at 2014, go look at 2015. And you had three holes in the lineup pretty consistently on those teams. And you won. And you won a lot. And no. This team does not have the bullpen that they had in 2014 and 2015. But they might have the pitching staff as a whole. They might have a better defense. And the team speed we can have a conversation about. So I'm honestly not worried about the offense whatsoever. I can promise you I'm not worried about Kyle Isbell, and I would recommend you no longer worry about his offense. He's your 9-hitter. His job is to play gold glove center field and execute a bunt, advance a runner, do the little things. That's the job of Kyle Isbell. MJ Melendez, okay. Now we can have a conversation. MJ, 0-for-2 today. He did draw his first walk in almost 2 weeks, so that's nice to see. Also, nice to see Matt Quatrero go to the bench and bring in Hunter Renfroe late in the game, as Melendez hasn't necessarily earned that lefty-on-lefty bat there in the 9th inning. But we saw MJ over the first few weeks of the season come through with, what, 3 game-winning RBIs? Sure, he's going through it over the past few weeks. Had a few bright spots in there, but Big picture, last 7-10 games, not great for MJ Melendez. But that's going to happen to everyone. Now, Salvi's going to have a slump at some point. I don't know when, but at some point he will. Salvi, by the way, extends his on-base streak to 16 games. He has 16 RBI in that stretch, hitting .351, more walks than strikeouts, and an OPS near 1,100. Bobby's going to go through his skid at some point, whenever that is. Bobby today triples and drives in 3 runs. Nobody in baseball has more triples than Bobby. He's 7th in hits, 8th in stolen bases. We've already seen Michael Garcia go in and out of a slump. We've seen Vinny Pasquantino go in and out of a slump. It's going to happen to everyone. Speaking of Michael Garcia, ever since Cody sang that song, ever since he debuted that motivational song for Michael, he has 4 multi-hit games. He's hitting .333 with 6 RBI, and he too has more walks than strikeouts. Let's go to Phil in Shawnee. Phil, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Thanks, Vern. Awesome day today. Awesome game. Here's the insane statistic for today. 11-2 when the team scores 4 or more runs in a game. 11-2. They lost to Baltimore on a walk-off home run, 6-4 at Camden, and then they lost the game last weekend, 9-7. Every other game when they've scored 4 runs in a game, they've won. That can't be sustainable because it just can't. But the good news is they're 6-8 when they score 3 runs or less because, like you say, pitching, defense, and speed. Pitching, defense, and speed win you games where you only score 3 runs or less.
What happened? Did we lose him? Oh, we lost him. Oh, you were making some good points. I mean, you made some great points, Phil. Thank you very much for the phone call. If you remember those glory years of 13, 14, 15, I mean, there was a mantra around the ballpark, 4 or more. I remember Rex Hudler talking about it nightly on the telecast. When the Royals scored 4 or more, chalk it up, it's going to be a dub. And that was because the defense wasn't going to open the door for the opposition. The team speed was going to capitalize when the other team left the door open. And the pitching was going to keep you in the game to make sure you're playing those close games, those entertaining games in the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th innings. And that's happening again so far here in the month of April. A long way to go, 30-some-odd games before we flip the calendar to June. So the focus needs to remain maintained through May. 7 games above .500. I know it feels like they're going to run away with this, but they're not even in first place in their division. We got a long way to go, my friends. Royals win 8-0. We get back to your thoughts after this.
You're listening to Burns Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app.
Bobby hits one the other way into deep right center, and that ball is going to be by the right fielder, Kerry Carpenter, all the way to the base of the fence, and it rolls away from the center fielder, Meadows. 1 run is in, 2 runs are in, and Bobby will stop at third base. You know, as that ball was rolling around out there, he was thinking about going all the way around, but Bobby puts on the brakes at third, but 2 more runs score.
And they would lead 7-0 after that 2-run triple from Bobby Witt Jr. They tack on another and take the opener in Detroit. Final score 8-0, a 7-run 9th inning. A 2-run triple from Bobby, a 2-run single from Michael Garcia, a sac fly from Vinny, and a pair of bases loaded hit by pitches worn by Adam Frazier and Kyle Isbell. The 4th time this year the Royals offense has put up 7 runs in an inning. 4th time. The other 29 teams in baseball have combined to do it just 8 times. The drive with Carrington Harrison's coming up in just a matter of moments, but I'm looking at the text line right now. A lot of love coming in for Seth Lugo, Double J, Dan and KCK, and you should spread some love to Seth Lugo. 6 starts into his 3-year contract with the Royals. He has 5 quality starts. Nobody in the sport has more. He's averaging 6 1/3 innings per start, and his ERA of 1.66, that ranks 9th best in Major League Baseball. Let's hear what he had to say after the game to Bally Sports Kansas City.
Well, you know, being aggressive is part of the plan every outing, but I just had really good fastball command today. I mixed my pitches well, and I, for the most part, stayed ahead in counts.
When do you know you're rolling like that? Is it when you get those first couple of strikeouts that everything's going to be sharp and moving where you want it to go?
Well, you know, just with their approach, you know, through a couple pitches, I thought, you know, perhaps should have taken a couple swings on, but kind of gave me an idea of what their approach was throughout the game, and just made sure to keep executing fastballs.
And I got
to
ask you, what did you think about Adam Frazier's catch out there in right field today?
That was awesome. I mean, without that, it's a completely different game. You know, it's 2-1 in the ninth, and they got their closer going, so that won the game for us.
That comeback, or did you take it mostly off your glove? I mean, that was nice reflex.
Hit me right in the glove, yeah. You know, I knew since he hit it so hard, as soon as I did make the play, to stay calm, and I had time to make the throw first.
All right, there you go. That's Seth Lugo, who improves his record to 4-1 on the season. Lugo's tossed a quality start in 22 of his last 32 outings. And how about game two of this series? Brady Singer going opposite the guy that was drafted before him, that was drafted number one overall by the Detroit Tigers. When there was a time, everyone thought Singer was going to Detroit. Brady always has something a little extra for the Tigers. I can't wait. 5:10 for the first pitch tomorrow. I'll talk to you Saturday afternoon beginning at 4 with the On Deck Show. The Drive with CDOTS coming your way next on 610 Sports Radio. Stay tuned.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bobby hits one the other way into deep right center, and that ball is going to be by the right fielder, Kerry Carpenter, all the way to the base of the fence, and it rolls away from the center fielder, Meadows. One run is in, two runs are in, and Bobby will stop at third base. You know, as that ball was rolling around out there, he was thinking about going all the way around, but Bobby puts on the brakes at third, but two more runs score.
And they would lead 7-0 after that two-run triple from Bobby Witt Jr. They tack on another and take the opener in Detroit. Final score 8-0, a 7-run ninth inning. A two-run triple from Bobby, a two-run single from Michael Garcia, a sack fly from Vinny, and a pair of bases loaded hit by pitches worn by Adam Frazier and Kyle Isbell. The fourth time this year the Royals' offense has put up 7 runs in an inning. Fourth time. The other 29 teams in baseball have combined to do it just 8 times. The Drive with Carrington Harrison's coming up in just a matter of moments, but I'm looking at the text line right now. A lot of love coming in for Seth Lugo, Double J, Dan and KCK, and you should spread some love to Seth Lugo. 6 starts into his 3-year contract with the Royals. He has 5 quality starts. Nobody in the sport has more. He's averaging 6 1/3 innings per start, and his ERA of 1.66, that ranks 9th best in Major League Baseball. Let's hear what he had to say after the game to Bally Sports Kansas City.
Well, you know, being aggressive is part of the plan every outing, but I just had really good fastball command today. I mixed my pitches well, and I, for the most part, stayed ahead in counts.
When do you know you're rolling like that? Is it when you get those first couple of strikeouts that everything's going to be sharp and moving where you want it to go?
Well, you know, just with their approach, you know, through a couple pitches, I thought, you know, perhaps should have taken a couple swings on, but kind of gave me an idea of what their approach was throughout the game, and just made sure to keep executing fastballs.
And I got
to
ask you, what did you think about Adam Frazier's catch out there in right field today?
That was awesome. I mean, without that, it's a completely different game. You know, it's 2-1 in the ninth, and they got their closer going, so that won the game for us.
That comeback, or did you take it mostly off your glove? I mean, that was nice reflex.
Hit me right in the glove, yeah. You know, I knew since he hit it so hard, as soon as I did make the play, to stay calm, and I had time to make the throw first.
All right, there you go. That's Seth Lugo, who improves his record to 4-1 on the season. Lugo's tossed a quality start in 22 of his last 32 outings. And how about game two of this series? Brady Singer going opposite the guy that was drafted before him, that was drafted number one overall by the Detroit Tigers. When there was a time, everyone thought Singer was going to Detroit. Brady always has something a little extra for the Tigers. I can't wait. 5:10 for the first pitch tomorrow. I'll talk to you Saturday afternoon beginning at 4 with the On Deck Show. The Drive with CDOTS coming your way next on 610 Sports Radio. Stay tuned.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanzus and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.